Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hiyo! Welcome to Kiwi's Birth Tales. My brother's name is Ollie and I'm Die Boy. Thank you for listening from Mommy's podcast. See you later.
Kia ora and welcome back to another episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I am your host, Jordan. I'm a mum of two. I have Jai, who's four, and Ali, who is two. I also have a business baby, which is Your Birth Project. Your Birth Project is the online hypnobirthing course you need in your life. If you're pregnant or you know someone who is, it is going to help you create your best birth. Do not be turned off by the word hypnobirthing. You'll hear Asha, the lovely mum I speak to this week, who is actually Your Birth Project mum, talk about her experience with the course and all of the other things that she did to help herself in pregnancy. But if you're pregnant, make sure you go and check out Your Birth Project. You need it in your life. As I have alluded to this week, I'm speaking with Asha. She's got a lovely story to share with us, and I know you're going to enjoy listening. So instead of listening to me ramble on, let's jump into the episode with Asha. Enjoy.
Hi, Asha. Thanks so much for joining me on the Kiwi Birth Tales podcast today.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. It might be like a little bit of a therapy session.
Amazing. I love it. I can't wait to hear all about it. So before we jump into it, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about you and who is in your family?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Asha and I live in Hawke's Bay. I am a life coach for teenage girls and young women in their 20s. And I work in that space locally in Hawke's Bay and online. In my family is my husband, Matt, our firstborn, Charles, who is a dog. He is a little cavoodle. And then we also have a cat that Matt would kill me if I didn't mention. But he is one of those little money cats that you see in the Chinese shops. So yeah, he's one of those money cats. So he's not a real cat, but Matt says that he's very much a part of our family, and we always joke that he's the hardest working member of our family, so it would be rude to leave him out. And now we have our little girl Alaska Mason as well.
Yeah, amazing, very cool. And we're going to talk through like everything motherhood today, birth, pregnancy, postpartum, everything. So why don't we start with what the journey was like to pregnancy for you and Matt?
Yeah, definitely. So early on in Matt and I's relationship, we knew that we wanted a family and we wanted kids, but we made the choice to get married first. So we both knew that as soon as we got married, we wanted to start trying after that. I was on contraception from a really young age, like a lot of young girls are, I think. Mm. So from about 15, I would say. And then when I met Matt, when I was 21, a few months into that, I knew pretty quickly that Matt was the one. And not that we were ready to have kids at that point in our relationship, but I was very conscious that, you know, that was what we wanted down the track. So I decided to come off birth control and just start tracking my cycle on an app and using condoms as contraception. So yeah. I'd say, when did I do that? I'd say I was off the birth control pill for probably a good at least 18 months to 2 years before we started trying, which I think was super helpful just to really get in touch with my cycle. And I knew for sure when I was ovulating and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And so did you go like, okay, this is the month that we're going to start trying from, and yeah, talk us through how it all happened.
Yeah. So we got married on December 3rd, 2022. And then from there, we just stopped using contraception, and we both knew that we were trying for a baby. And yeah. then we left on our for our honeymoon around the 10th of December, I'd say. And our honeymoon started in the Maldives. So that was super, super beautiful. And I knew that I was ovulating during that time. So we were, you know, trying during that time. And then our honeymoon moved on to Thailand, and I had a pregnancy test ready that was one of those tests that says on the box that you can test 5 days before your missed period. Mm-hmm. So the day that my app told me that I was 5 days before my missed period, I knew that I could test that day. So we were in Koh Samui in Thailand, and I convinced myself I was pregnant. So I convinced myself that, you know, my cycles have always been regular. You know, I'm really quite healthy. I'm feeling really good. You know, I felt like it had happened for us. So the day that my app told me was 5 days before my period was due, I was planning to test that day. So we had like a romantic dinner booked, and you know, I was planning to test and tell Matt at the dinner, and I kind of had it all planned, and I was just so convinced that I was pregnant. And then we were having a few drinks before the dinner, and I went to the bathroom there to do the test, and it was negative. So that really, like, I know that it sounds quite silly to assume that we would have been able to be pregnant first go, but like I say, after being so aware of my cycle and aware of my health, I really did believe that, but it was negative. So obviously I told Matt, picked up pretty quickly that I was quite upset and didn't know why. So obviously I told him that I was hoping that we would be pregnant, but it was negative. So there was, I was really upset. Like, I think it wasn't until that moment that I knew how badly I wanted a baby. Mm-hmm. And I think in hindsight, it was actually a blessing that we didn't get pregnant first go, because it really, really ingrained in Matt and I how badly we wanted it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it actually kind of made the want for a baby even greater, I guess. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of convinced ourselves, we were, you know, researching, and it said, oh, sometimes your levels aren't high enough to know 5 days prior. So for the next kind of 5 days until my period came, we kept testing and we kept being like, oh, maybe I still am, maybe I still am, which was a little bit of a head game, I think.
Yeah, it so is. I reckon those like early detection tests can just really mess with your head, because you're like, oh, I should be showing now. But then if you're like even a couple of days out from a normal cycle, it wouldn't be showing. It's, yeah, it's really hard.
Definitely. So, you know, I'm a bit of a perfectionist and control freak. I really, really like to know what's going on. But I would actually recommend, if anybody has the patience, which I definitely didn't, to kind of just wait and see whether your period has come. And then if it is late, you know, then test. But hey, I didn't have that patience. So to anyone that doesn't either, I fully get it.
So then
there's all of the information about how you can bleed, but it can still mean that you're pregnant. Do you know what that's called?
Like implantation bleeding?
Yeah. So then even when my period did start, I was still trying to convince myself, oh, I still could be pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, it took me a really long time to kind of wrap my head around the fact that we weren't. So that was an interesting experience. But, you know, we obviously kept going, and then our honeymoon was just over a month long. So we were lucky enough that I had another ovulation cycle at the end of our honeymoon in Singapore. So obviously we were kind of aware of that again. We were trying again. And then, you know, we came home. During the time we were home, I actually trained to become a life coach, which that's my business, but that's another story. So I was away in Auckland for a bit for the training for that. At this time, I kind of told myself I wasn't pregnant. I think I just didn't want the devastation of thinking I was and not being pregnant again.
Yeah.
So this was when I started kind of thinking in my head, like, okay, if it doesn't happen this time, you know, I think before you try to become pregnant, you never ever know how your journey's going to look. And then all of a sudden, when you have the month of it not happening, you kind of realize, okay, maybe this might not be easy for us. You know, you just don't know. But anyway, so I tested, I think that time, the day, maybe, I think I still tested maybe 2 days before my period was due, say, but it was a strong negative again. And I kind of accepted that. We did that test together. We were quite upset, but we were like, okay, that's okay. You know, we'll try another month to see how we go. But then that time, it was kind of a few days later, my period was late. And I was like, oh, like maybe I'll test again. So I was just home by myself one day. Matt was at work and I tested again. And it was like the strongest line you've ever seen that it was positive. And I just couldn't believe it. Like, I think that feeling when you get that positive result again just really shows you how badly you want this baby. Like, it's just such a crazy feeling.
Yeah. Amazing. And so what did you do? How did you tell Matt?
Yeah, so I was that night I actually had a dinner with my girlfriends planned, and I knew I couldn't go to the dinner without telling Matt. Like, I was dying not telling him all day. So I rung him and actually pretended that I had some work stuff I wanted him to help me with before I went to the dinner. So I said, oh, do you think you just come home from work a bit early so I can see you before I go to dinner? So he was like, yeah, I'll come home early. So then he got home, and on the kitchen bench, I just had my laptop open. And as you come into our kitchen, he can only see the back of the laptop, I guess. So then I said, oh, can you come over here and, like, you know, have a look at this work stuff for me? And then he came around to the side of the laptop, and it was just open with, like, this big note saying you're going to be the best dad with, like, 3 pregnancies there. And obviously he just, Matt's a big softy, so he just started bawling his eyes out. He was so excited. And I think because we thought we weren't, again, it almost made it even more unbelievable that we were.
So,
that was a really special moment. But one thing we didn't discuss before the positive result was if we were going to tell people straight away. So I thought, you know, I've got this dinner with my girlfriends tonight. I'm going to tell them. And Matt was like, well, no, you can't tell them yet. And I was like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, we haven't even, like, he's like, I've got to digest this news. So anyway, I had to go over this dinner and not say anything. And at the dinner, they knew we were trying, so I just had to keep talking as if we were still trying. So that was quite funny. But yeah,
I think it's like the hardest secret to keep when you're, especially when you're like with your girlfriends, or, you know, you're doing something fun and you just want to share the news. And it's such a hard secret to keep.
Yeah, definitely. No, I couldn't believe Matt, my husband. He's like a very open person, very I'd say, you know, love sharing things with people. So I was really shocked when it was him that wanted to wait a little bit until we told people. Like, I was ready to tell people from the get-go. But I think we started telling a few people around that kind of 6-week mark, I'd say. So we didn't wait too long.
Yeah, awesome. Very cool. And how were you feeling, like, throughout your first trimester? And, yeah, talk us through any pregnancy symptoms that you had initially.
Yeah, so initially I definitely did get a lot of nausea. I didn't get the vomiting as such. I just always felt like I was going to vomit. But the biggest kind of shock for me was, so I am really into my health and fitness. I really enjoy health and fitness. I was one of those people that went into pregnancy thinking that I would be even more of a healthy version of myself because it's for my baby. And I would see people online and things saying in that first trimester, you know, if all you can get down is white bread, that's okay. And I saw that and was like, that won't be me. But it definitely was a struggle to work out what to eat in that first trimester, which I think a lot of people experience. Yeah, the main thing that kind of got me through it was it was really important to me to keep up my exercise routine. And I guess in this podcast, like just some advice I'd love to give to mums that are currently pregnant or mums that are trying to be pregnant is kind of the importance of your pelvic floor work and the importance of keeping up what you can during your pregnancy and how much it's helped me throughout. But yeah, just going back to, I'm in the first trimester, and yeah, just keeping up with that movement really helped me battle that nausea as well. Like I found the days that I got up, especially got outside, went for a walk, just did my same thing in the morning, it really, really helped the nausea. And then it kind of got worse as the day went on.
Yeah. That first trimester nausea is just like so yuck.
In regards to, I guess, the exercise in the first trimester and, you know, just trying to do what you can. I guess the good thing about the first trimester is, you know, general advice, and this is just my take on it, but general advice that I was given from professionals and from what I learned is in that first trimester, you're pretty much okay to continue to do whatever you were doing prior. So I guess it made it kind of easy to navigate what to do. I didn't so much have that thought. It was more just like, let's just get out and do something.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. And did you go with a midwife for your care, or what did you decide to do there?
Yeah, we went with a midwife and yeah, had a great experience with them.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. And what about testing in pregnancy? Did you do like all of the standard testing that's offered to you? And did you want to know the sex of your baby?
Yes. So we did want to know the sex of our baby. So we did do that initial test that you can get. Is it at 12 weeks or 10 weeks?
Oh, the NIPT?
Yeah. The one that in New Zealand does cost quite a bit. But yeah, we did choose to get that one because we did want to know the sex, but also two, you know, I think we wanted to know as much about our baby as possible, as early as possible, just so we could know if any extra care would be required in the pregnancy. So we did get that test. And then other than that, I got all of the standard tests throughout pregnancy, apart from I did not get the glucose test. The diabetes test.
Oh, the one for gestational diabetes.
Yeah, the one where you drink the sugary drink beforehand.
Yes, so
I chose not to get that test, and I think it can be quite a strong misconception that you have to get everything that's offered to you, and you know that's not the case. So I recommend to obviously just do your own research and talk to your care provider and obviously look at your health and how you feel, but I chose not to get that.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. And take us through your sort of second trimester. How were you feeling? Were you doing anything like birth education? Did you do any antenatal classes or anything like that?
Yeah, so second trimester for me, I can say was amazing, but I don't know if it was just in comparison to the first. I don't know if women in the second trimester, it's maybe just how they felt prior to being pregnant, but because you feel quite awful in the first trimester, you might just forget how good you felt prior. Anyway, the second trimester was really, really good energy wise. And, you know, I think it starts to get really exciting in that second trimester. You start to see the bump and it starts to all feel a bit more real. But yeah, I did your birth project. So I probably started that around 20 weeks, I would say. So just because we're kind of jumping into that your birth project, you know, the birth kind of space, I'll just jump there a little bit. I think in regards to my thoughts around birth, in the beginning I was almost quite avoidant of it in terms of I'm a very I like to be a very positive person. I really believe in the power of positive thinking. And I almost thought that having a positive mindset would be enough to get me through my labor. Mm-hmm. So I kind of thought that that was going to be enough. And I think in the beginning, I almost wanted to ignore anything more than that because I think I found it quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
But then I kind of found your birth project and I started to get interested in it. And I thought, no, like, you know, knowledge is power at the end of the day. And the more I can know, the better. So I did do your course and I found it super beneficial, more in the way that it got me interested in the birth. I think when I first got pregnant and prior to getting pregnant, I thought that the birth was such a small part of it. Like I believed, okay, like the pregnancy is, you know, 40 or so weeks, and then you've obviously got your baby forever. The birth is such a minor part in the equation. And that was kind of my view towards it.
Mm.
But that honestly could not be further from the truth. So if you're like in early stages of pregnancy or looking at starting a family, I would say that the birth is a lot bigger than, you know, just a few hours.
Yeah. And did you have any like thoughts from doing that on where you wanted to give birth or what you wanted your birth to look like? Did you try and have a bit of a plan? Talk us through, your thoughts around birth.
Yeah, definitely. So I have always dreamed of, always wanted an all-natural birth, which I know that those words may be quite they mean different things to different people, and I'm very much aware of that. But in my mind, that for me meant a vaginal birth, and I did not want to get an epidural. So those two ideas were quite strong in my mind, and I will say for a lot of us now looking at Instagram, I do think there is quite a push towards that. And I think it can put a lot of pressure on people.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, I think now that's become such a thing that we read about. For me, definitely, and kind of me being very interested in like the health and natural space, I saw a lot of that terminology of an all-natural birth being considered a vaginal birth with no epidural. So that was kind of my wants for my birth. And then I kind of also saw the messaging online, things along the lines of, oh, if your birth starts with intervention, it can end with intervention. And I think there's a lot of pressure and a lot of kind of negativity around messaging like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff online about inductions and interventions. And yeah, there's lots of information out there.
Yeah, definitely. So even from that messaging, it made me consider a home birth. But I think just for me, I knew that to me, my home is like such a sacred place that I don't know, I just can't imagine doing something I've never done before here for some reason. Yeah. So I wanted to give birth in a hospital, but in Hawke's Bay, we actually have a birthing center and then the maternity ward in the hospital. So the birthing center is, they don't actually have, they don't give you C-sections or epidurals in that birthing center. And then the maternity ward in the hospital is a bit different.
Yeah.
So my hopes were to give birth in the birthing center alongside the midwives and my birthing partner, who was my husband.
Yeah.
Cool. So that was kind of the plan. I did do a tour of the birthing unit and the hospital, which I would recommend as well, just to make sure you feel comfortable in the space. I thought that was super helpful.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And were you doing anything in preparation for birth, like antenatal expressing, raspberry leaf tea, eating dates, like any of the things that people say help with birth?
Yeah, definitely. So I was adamant, again, as you probably learned from my first story about being adamant I was pregnant. I was also adamant that I was going to be early. So my due date was 10-10. So our baby was due on the 10th of the 10th, and I just had it in my mind that she was coming before the 10th. So anyway, from quite early on, so yeah, from the second trimester, I actually started an online exercise program from an online trainer called Em Snell, I believe her name is. We can obviously put her in the show notes. But yeah, her name's Em Snell, and she specializes in pregnancy and postpartum fitness. So I bought her program, which was a weights-based program at the gym, but there was a lot of pelvic floor work, a lot of hip opening work, and things like that. So I started doing that, which I found super, super helpful. And then I also joined Our Pilates, which is an online Pilates that specializes in pregnancy and postpartum too. So yeah, a lot of pelvic floor work in there. So I'd say, yeah, my main preparation was doing that stuff. I did the curb walking, I did the walking up hills. I had a Swiss ball. I was so uncomfortable by the end of my third trimester that like all I did was sit on the Swiss ball. What else? Yeah, did the raspberry leaf tea. I didn't do the antenatal expressing. Is that what it's called?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I should actually just put that in there. Yeah. I didn't do that. Even though I knew I wanted to breastfeed, for some reason doing that prior to me, it didn't feel quite right, so I didn't choose to do that. And then the other thing I didn't do that actually made me really nervous that I wasn't doing it was the perineum massage. So I didn't put too much into that either, but like a lot of first-time mums, or maybe I'm sure second-time mums, third-time mums as well, like a lot of mums, I think there's a lot of fear around tearing. So the fact that I wasn't doing that perineum massage did actually make me nervous, but again, I just didn't feel super comfortable doing it, so I just didn't do it.
Yeah. Fair enough. Awesome. And take us through the end of your pregnancy. How were you feeling? And then, yeah, take us through your labor and birth story from there. I'm excited to hear it.
Yeah, perfect. So, yeah, towards the end of the third trimester, I was definitely over it. I was just so uncomfortable. I was getting very impatient. Yeah, it's a really hard time, and I think we can put a lot of pressure on our due dates as well. And as I'm sure a lot of stats say, and I think I've even read it in the Your Birth Project, you know, a lot of people do go over their due date, and you know, I think that's not really spoken about enough. So I did find it really hard leading up to my due date, and then when I went over my due date, I also found that really difficult mentally. I wasn't sleeping, so every night I would just come into the lounge and just bounce on my Swiss ball, and I would just try manifest myself to go into labor. Like, I was just doing anything I could to go into labor, but I knew that that wasn't good either, because I knew I needed all the sleep and that I could get. I wasn't getting that sleep. I just every night thought it was the night. Yeah, it was just almost just like waiting for it to happen. But yeah, Matt also finished work. I think he must have finished a week before we were due. So he was also at home. So it was all really weird. Like, we were both just waiting, really. So yeah, I definitely say to keep doing as much as you can and keep busy, I guess, because it is really hard just waiting.
So
I went over our due date, and then during that time I was literally just spending all my time curb walking, drinking raspberry leaf tea, sitting on the Swiss ball. I was doing lots of the hour Pilates at home. I was walking up hills, you know, I was doing everything that everyone tells you to do. And then on the Friday night, I got a Thai massage, and then at 3:20 a.m. that night, I got up, and I felt a small gush, but I didn't know if it was my waters breaking, so I kind of got a little bit excited. I got up, I started using the Swiss ball like for an hour, and then I was like, okay, nothing's happening. I know I need a rest, so I went back to bed. And then on the Saturday, I just kept feeling kind of gushes, and I knew that if it was my waters, I would go into labor eventually, was my understanding. So I kind of went to bed on the Saturday and nothing was happening, and I just was thinking, okay, it's obviously my waters haven't broken, who knows what it is. And then on the Sunday, I kind of rung my midwives and said, hey, you know, I'm a little bit paranoid that my waters may have broken. And they told us to go to the hospital for a check. So we met our midwife at the hospital for a check, and they did like a swab in my pee, and it kind of like looked like a pregnancy test. And then it came up with two lines, which meant that my waters had broken. So when I found out they'd broken, I was a little bit nervous. I was like, okay, what does this mean? You know, we're well over the 24 hours now. There's no signs of me going into labor. So then they told me that the risk of infection would get up if, you know, we didn't look to induce. And I had learned about induction in the Your Birth Project course, but it still did freak me out. Like, it wasn't the start to my labor that I was expecting or that I had in mind. You know, I did kind of say to the midwife, like, oh, can I just wait a bit longer? But what we ended up doing was they said, hey, look, you can go home, get your bags, and then come back and we'll start the induction this afternoon. So Matt and I were happy with that. At first, like I said, we were really freaked out, and then we kind of just had to change our mindset, and we were like, okay, it's happening. We get to meet our baby soon. This is the way, you know, it's going to happen for us, and we're going to still make the best of it. Like, we're not going to change the plan.
Yeah.
So we, went home, got our bags, went to the hospital, all was quite relaxed at this point because, you know, I wasn't having strong signs of labor or anything like that. And then that afternoon I was induced with misoprostol. I think it's just quite helpful to kind of tell people how we were induced, I guess. So yeah, at 3:30 that afternoon on the Saturday, I was given my first dose of misoprostol. I think I was kind of thinking it would just like all of a sudden happen really quickly, because I've written in my notes here that like I went for a walk and like still felt nothing. And then I had a second dose, I had a third dose, and then what happened with the induction is they are monitoring the baby's heart rate, and if they see any inconsistency in the baby's heart rate, they're very hesitant to keep giving you doses.
Yeah.
And around, must have been around, you know, 8 o'clock that night, our baby, like, her heart rate was kind of up and down, up and down, up and down. So they said they couldn't get a baseline of where her heart rate would be at. So they were hesitant to give another dose. So we held off on the dose again until her heart rate was consistent again. And then I was given a third dose at 9:40 that night. And then the rest of the night, so this is Saturday night, I thought that I had super strong contractions. Bleeding started a lot, so I was bleeding. All I really did was walk up and down the corridors of the hospital, and I used my Swiss ball because I'd learned how important it was to keep moving during labor. Mm-hmm. And Matt, during this time, was just trying to relax, I think knowing that it could be a while. And then at 4 a.m. the next day, I called the midwife because the pain was so intense, like I was convinced the baby was about to come. And then she did a check and I was only 1 centimeter dilated. And she could tell, like, I just hadn't slept in nights. And she just said to me, look, if you are going to get through this, you need to rest. So she recommended that I...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I had some morphine, which I knew in that moment I was so defeated that I didn't have much choice. So I had some morphine, and then I managed to lie on the bed for 4 hours. But I just want to add that the morphine didn't stop being able to feel the contractions. It just made it a lot more manageable, and I was able to rest through them. It's not like I was in a deep sleep not feeling what was going on. But it still gave me some rest. And then the next morning, which was the Monday, I woke up and I was like, right, like, you know, I need to change my headspace. I've been, you know, I've gotten a bit down again. I found it hard, but, you know, our baby's got to come to us soon. So I really woke up and was like, today's the day. I changed my headspace. And got really strong back into the mindset of, you know, what I wanted, and let's set up the space and let's do this. So the other really nice thing was there was a new midwife in the hospital that day, and she was like amazing. She gave me such like a mum nurturing energy. And when she started her shift, I guess I was like, okay, it's all working out now. Like, this is great. And then we were lucky enough to move to a birthing room, because prior to this, we were just in, I guess, a waiting, not, sorry, we were in a proper room, but it wasn't a birthing suite. Yeah. Well, that morning, they let us move into a birthing suite as well. So all day, the contractions kind of were increasing. I thought that they were quite strong, but I was feeling like super, super positive. Would set the space, we were feeling good. And then at 1:30 that day, the hospital midwife did a check, and she said to me, hey, I've just got this feeling that not all of your waters have broken. And I was like, okay, what do you mean? And she kind of explained to me that there's, don't quote me on these medical terms, but my understanding was there was kind of an outer layer of my waters, and then there was like an inner layer, I guess. And she said, I have this feeling that only the outer layer has broken, not the inner layer. So she said, do you want me to try, see if I can see that and then break them for you? And I had such trust in this midwife. She made me feel so safe that I said yes. So she managed to stretch me from a 2.5 to 3 centimeters, and then she discovered that she was right and not all of the waters had broken, and she managed to break the rest of these. So at 1:30, so bear in mind this had happened at 1:15, and then literally at 1:30, it ramped up so fast. The contractions all of a sudden were so strong, and all of a sudden, like, I just went into this completely different headspace. Like, she saw it straight away. She said to Matt straight away, this is different now. This is happening. You can see she's gone into a different place. Because prior to this, Matt kind of just kept trying to talk to me and just kind of kept trying to keep things as lighthearted as we could. And I think he knew in this moment at 1:30, okay, something's changed. This is not the time to keep things lighthearted anymore. Like, this is kind of go time, I guess. And I just want to point out in this time that I, on paper, was only 3 centimeters, which I think can be disheartening to a lot of people. But when you hear the rest of my story, I just want people to, you know, remember that being only 3 centimeters doesn't need to mean as much as we can put on it. Then things are really ramping up. And then around 3 p.m., I hopped into the shower. I was crying, like, I was just hysterical. I wanted the midwife and I wanted my midwife, and the hospital midwives were telling me, you know, we think you should just hold it out a bit longer. And then I was given, and there was a new midwife who her shift started at the hospital, and then she came in. So she started her shift when I was literally at, like, the most vulnerable place I could have been. I was in the shower, you know, I was naked, I was crying, I was feeling so vulnerable. She got me a diffuser going with lavender. She got Matt to run the bath. She just, like, set the scene completely. She was amazing. And then the hospital midwife asked me if I could feel any pressure in my bum. And I kind of thought that was a weird question, but I said, no, I can't. So then they were like, okay. And then I felt disheartened that I couldn't feel the pressure in my bum, because I was like, oh no, it means I've still got a while to go. At this point, I still haven't had any pain relief other than the morphine I'd had, you know, a long time ago now, that one dose that I had. And then I moved to the bath around 3:30 as the intensity was growing. And as soon as I hopped in the bath, I was like, oh my goodness, I can feel the pressure in my bum. Like, this is next level. Mm. And it's such an overwhelming feeling. Like, you've never felt anything like that before. And they say, is it a blue line on your bum that you can see?
Is it blue? Oh, like a purple coloured line. Yeah.
Purple coloured. So we'd learned about that in antenatal, and I just thought, like, oh, I didn't think much of it. And then they were like, okay, yeah, we can see the purple line. And I was like, oh my God. So then baby's heart rate started being monitored in the bath. We put a mirror down on the floor of the bath so that the midwife could see, I guess, what was going on. And they said to me in this moment, okay, we can see her head. She's got black hair. So I was like, oh my goodness, she's so close. We can see the head. Like, I start, and I think you get another kick of energy then, right? Because you're okay, like, you know, she's real. We can see the head. Like, this is happening. So I think you get another burst of energy. Around 4 o'clock, our midwife arrived, and I begged the hospital midwife not to leave either, because she was so amazing. So at this point, I had my midwife, Matt, and the hospital midwife. Matt was running to the sink, filling up cups of water for me and just trickling it down my back. And that was so amazing. And I just did not let him leave my face. Like, every single time he ran to the sink to fill up the cup with water, I just, like, freaked out. Like, I wanted him to be with me 24/7, but I needed that water being poured down my back. It just really helped with the pain. So he was obviously so amazing. And then the midwives were telling me to push. And I was in the bath at this point until at least 5:30. I thought I was pushing, but it just wasn't progressing. Like, we could still see the head, but just nothing was happening. So around 5:30, I got encouraged to try something new. So we moved to the bed. And then by this point, I've heard a lot in things I've listened to prior to giving birth that it says you will get to a moment of thinking, I cannot do this. And that's the moment that you were so close. And when I got to that bed, I just was like, I've been pushing now for so long. I'm not capable of pushing, was how I felt. But obviously Matt just kept encouraging me. The midwives kept encouraging me. I was so exhausted by this point. Mm. But, you know, I was too late. It never ever crossed my mind to have an epidural, I will say. It just kind of felt like that just was never the right option. I guess there was always other forms of pain relief available, and because I slowly built on all of them, I always felt like I had a next step.
Yeah.
So prior to, I guess, getting to the point of pushing, the next step, I guess, would have been gas, but I never got to that point. But I just would love people to know how many options there are before an epidural. Mm. But at this point, you know, we're way too late for this. This baby's coming.
Yeah.
I was growing very disheartened, thinking I couldn't do it. I felt like my pelvic floor was almost too tight that I just couldn't let it go.
Mm.
We were just obviously trying. I kept pushing. They kept kind of saying, you know, the head was coming out more and then should kind of go back in. And then at 6:30, they had asked the doctor to come in. And honestly, I just felt the doctor's presence into that room. Like, you were in such a spiritual space, I guess. Like, you were so focused that any change in your environment, you really feel it. It wasn't like they told me the doctor was coming. It wasn't like I heard the doctor was coming. But the second she entered the room, I just felt her presence and honestly just pushed her baby out. The doctor didn't need to intervene at all. Her presence of coming into the room was enough to make me push our baby out. Then our little girl was out at 6:36, and that's, I guess, a very detailed description of what happened to that point.
Amazing. And did they pop her straight up onto your chest?
Arrived, she literally let out two tiny cries and then just was so calm. And I will add that throughout my whole labor, obviously the baby's heart rate was being monitored really, really closely. And any time that her heart rate went up, Matt would literally just look me in the eyes and just encourage me to breathe. And I would just breathe and think about our baby. Being calm, and I would honestly just think about my breath being passed down to her. So I just kept breathing, and knowing that I was giving her that breath, and I knew that if she felt me not be calm, she would not feel calm. So that was how I looked at it, I guess, is I needed to give her that breath because I needed to keep her calm. So I will say I was really that helped so much, of just envisioning giving my breath to her. And it meant that her heart rate didn't raise throughout this process, which meant I could have the vaginal birth that I wanted, I guess. So that's super important there. But obviously I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why a baby's heart rate could elevate. But for me personally, it really, really helped just passing my breath down to the baby, I guess. And then this sounds really naive, but I was in such shock when she came out. Honestly, like, it's just, you can't even describe it. I was in such shock that I just said, give her to Matt. And like, I just got Matt to sit down. Like, he took his top off. I was like, just give her to Matt. And I didn't realize that she was still attached to me with the umbilical cord, obviously. So they had to calm me down and say, you know, we've got to wait for the umbilical cord to stop beating, because I wanted to do the delayed cord clamping. Is that it?
Yeah.
So Yeah, once that had stopped beating, we cut that, and then she did skin on skin with Matt, which I was really happy with, because at this point I was so overwhelmed. I wanted our baby to just feel calmness, and I knew that, like, Matt is obviously just so calm, and that was what I wanted our daughter to feel. So then he was given to Matt, did the skin on skin with Matt, and then I had to birth the placenta, which after the amount of hours I was pushing for, when they told me I had to push again, I wanted to cry. But I will say, don't even worry about birthing the placenta. Once you've birthed a baby, the placenta is nothing. So that came out. And then I did the skin on skin.
Yeah.
And then just the last kind of note I've got here is that I guess is really cool for me to say, is that then the doctors checked me and I didn't need stitches, just to touch on, I guess, the birth prep I did and the fact that I didn't do that perineum massage, and then I did have no tears. I just would love, you know, future mums and mums to know that just because perineum massage is great for preventing tears, it doesn't mean automatically if you don't do that, that you will tear. Like, I think we want to stop looking at things in such black and white. Like, you know, while if you feel comfortable doing that and you want to do it, because everything you can do ultimately is going to help. But I don't want you to be scared if you haven't felt comfortable to do something that it's going to be a bad thing and it's going to affect the outcome, because I was lucky enough to have no tearing, and, you know, I credit that to a lot of things, but I just want to say that I didn't do that.
Yeah. Awesome. Very cool. And so talk us through the next, like, couple of hours after you've given birth. What happened next? Did you try and latch her on? Were you moved rooms? Yeah, talk us through the next sort of 12 hours or so.
Yeah, so latched her on, which honestly I was like amazed that they just come out of the womb and like they kind of know to latch, so I was really lucky that she did latch, and I had heaps of colostrum even though I hadn't expressed it prior again, so I will say again there was heaps of colostrum, so that wasn't an issue that I hadn't expressed it prior. She managed to latch on and get that straight away, which was really nice. And then we were moved rooms pretty quickly. I was feeling pretty empowered, like I was on such a big high. I kind of felt like I was just floating around the hospital, to be honest. I think that I just want to kind of, going back to the start when I kind of spoke about that, you know, I felt like the birth was such a small fraction of this whole experience. I will say for me, the pregnancy was one thing, but then the birth of our baby was kind of like the next stage. And even though it was, you know, a long labor or whatever you want to call it, because I found it a really positive experience, whatever that looks like to you, I think if you can, you know, associate your birth with being positive, I think it's a really nice way to transition into motherhood. And that's why I encourage people to do your birth project and get the knowledge and figure out, you know, what a positive birth will look like to you prior, so that if you do manage to get that, it's a really nice way to enter into motherhood. And, you know, I think having a positive birth doesn't always mean that everything went to plan. Like, I definitely didn't plan for an induction, but because in my eyes it was positive, it kind of gave me this confidence in our baby and in being a mother. Like, I felt like I could do this, and that was because I was so happy from, I guess, how our birth went.
Amazing.
Top tip, I guess, just super quickly on the hospital, and I learned this from your birth project and podcast I've listened to from you, but I just want to say it helped so much, is get electrolytes and Ural sachets and just put them in a massive Stanley drink bottle and just drink them nonstop.
yeah that is such a good tip. I feel like it's something that you can easily overlook, but actually makes a big difference.
Yeah, like it's literally just chuck it in your bag. It's something you can do. And also highly recommend the Stanley throughout birth because it's got the straw, and your birthing partner can just constantly put the straw in your mouth and you just drink even though you don't really feel like drinking. You definitely need it.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's actually really interesting. My midwife, I still remember her saying to me in my second birth, she was like, you need to drink more water because one of the top reasons that labors like stall is because people get so dehydrated.
Yeah.
And I remember after that, just like drinking and drinking and drinking, drinking so much water after that.
Yeah, definitely. And that's why I think it's so good, little things like that, to let your birth partner in on so that they know to be aware of it, because you're not thinking about drinking water, like, let's be honest. So it's really nice if they can know, like, Matt knew going into our labor that it was movement was really important to me. Moving around was really important to me. Like, trying different positions was really important to me. Water forcing me to eat. So, you know, he really kept on top of those things for me and kind of knew if anything was stalling or if he could see I was maybe getting frustrated in a position, he would be like, okay, cool, why don't we try this? Or why don't we go for a little walk? Or do you want to stand up with me for a bit? Or he'd just keep, you know, putting the Stanley bottle underneath my mouth. And if it's offered to you, you take it, right? But you're not thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Yeah. And how long did you stay in the hospital for? Talk us through, the next few days, like going home with your baby. How did you find that transition?
Yeah, perfect. One thing I actually have just remembered as well is I also got my placenta made into capsules.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So just if anyone's thinking about doing that, you have only just stopped taking them. The lady that does them in Hawke's Bay, you get a 3-month supply. And I found them really helpful as well. So they come and collect your placenta from the hospital and then they make it into capsules for you. So if anyone's interested in that, I would recommend that.
Yeah.
So our little girl, I actually haven't said her name, but her name's Alaska. She was born at 6:30 on the Monday night. And then, like I say, that first night in hospital, I was just on such a high. There was no way I was sleeping. I just thought, that what I'd done was amazing. And we moved rooms from the birthing room. And, we just spent that Monday night in the hospital. And then on the Tuesday, we chose not to have anyone come to the hospital. We just wanted it to be Matt and I. We just felt like there was a lot going on and we just wanted to take it all in. But on the Tuesday afternoon, the hospital were amazing. They never ever, they told us we could stay another night. But on the Tuesday afternoon, I just wanted to get home, to be honest. So we came home on the Tuesday afternoon, which you don't realize how big it is bringing your baby home until you get home and realize, okay, I can't push the buzzer for help anymore. This is me. But we got home and for my recovery and I think for my mental recovery, it was really nice to just get back home and have that familiarity again and just get to know our baby. And it's a busy few days, those first few days. It's really busy. You're taking it all in. Again, I was just running on such a high, like I barely slept, but I just didn't mind because I think I felt so confident and empowered in my birth.
Yeah, amazing. And take us through your breastfeeding journey. How did you find that played out?
Yeah, so I actually had a boob reduction prior to getting pregnant a few years ago, and I kind of got told when I had the reduction, you know, there was a very slight chance it might impact breastfeeding one day, and I kind of knew that risk, but when I got the reduction done, I wasn't really in the headspace of having kids that I was willing to take that risk. So I kind of had that in the back of my mind, but I knew that I wanted to give breastfeeding a good go. And we did. She was latching really well, but a few days in, I was like, okay, this is actually really painful. And that was making me resist it. So I decided to reach out to a lactation consultant that I had been recommended by family friends prior. I actually had her card just sitting in my handbag just in case I needed it one day. So we reached out to her and she came to the house and she just helped me figure out the latch a bit better and just get more confident with the latch. And while I will say, you know, that was obviously an investment, I was resisting breastfeeding prior to her because I thought it was painful and I thought that that was how it was meant to feel. And then when the lactation specialist came and told me, you know, this doesn't have to be painful, and then she showed me different, you know, how to latch and things like that, it helped so much. So if you're feeling any pain, I'd just love to say that, like, you don't have to be feeling that. So I would definitely reach out for support. And that might not be from a lactation specialist. That might be from your midwife or from Plunkett down the track.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Alaska is 13 weeks now, and she is still mainly exclusively breastfed baby. She has had the odd formula bottle when she has been being babysat by her grandparents or if she's just been at home with Matt. But yeah, when I say that, probably 3 or 4 bottles a week. I did try expressing for those bottles and I hated expressing. So I had to deal with that mental battle of being like, okay, cool. When she has a bottle, it's going to be formula. And that was such a good decision for us. And I think her being able to have a bottle has actually made our breastfeeding journey better and potentially longer because I haven't felt like I'm the only one that can do it.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. And is there anything that you've used over the past 13 weeks that you're like, everybody has to know about this? Could be to do with your birth recovery, could be to do with, like, yeah, newborn essentials. What have you found the most useful?
Yeah, definitely. So I touched on the placenta capsules before, definitely them. And yeah, I definitely say, I think everyone kind of says it, but it kind of was something I rolled at prior, but like you need so much food to recover and you want it to be good food and you've got so much going on, like you're not cooking and things. So I would just say like having healthy meals on hand or, you know, having the understanding with your partner or your family, getting people to cook and things like that, definitely couldn't recommend more. Like you need that food and you need it to be nutritious. Like having packet snacks just isn't going to cut it. Like your body has been through a lot, and then like if you're breastfeeding on top of that, but even if you're not, you know, there's a lot going on. So
yeah,
I really just highlighted, you know, eating enough, making sure it was good food, the placenta capsules, kept on top of all my pregnancy supplements. And then quite early on, I actually started I mentioned it at the beginning, but I started the Our Pilates postpartum online program. And yeah, I just found that super helpful just to connect to my pelvic floor again. Like after you give birth, for me personally, I just found it so heavy. You know, walking was really a lot. So I found that Our Pilates postnatal program online super helpful. The videos are like 20 minutes long. You obviously just pull it up in your lounge, do it in your pajamas. Yeah. It's super gentle. And if you feel like they're progressing too quickly, you just keep repeating a video until you're ready to progress. And I will just say that getting onto that pelvic floor stuff early on, I think it made my recovery so much easier rather than waiting, say, 6 weeks to be checked by the pelvic floor physio and then, you know, kind of forgetting how it even is meant to feel.
Yeah.
Just getting on top of that quickly and knowing that while that pelvic floor physio appointment that you may choose to do at around 6 weeks is super important, I think it doesn't mean you can't do nothing. I think, you know, there's some super simple exercises you can do just to feel a bit more human again and to relieve that pressure that you feel I think that helped my recovery heaps. And, you know, with a baby, you're walking around a lot, you're bobbing them up and down a lot, you know, you're bending down a lot. There's a lot going on that I think you want to feel strong, and the sooner you can feel strong and doing that again, it's really helped me mentally and physically recover from birth. So just, you know, obviously make sure you're doing the right things, and that's why I obviously recommend like having support kind of through a program like that. I found really beneficial, and just starting really slow, but yeah, starting early, because they also do sleep a lot in the very start.
Yeah, awesome, cool. And is there anything else that you feel like we haven't covered that you want to make sure is in your story?
Yeah, I think I just want to say how important, which you go over so well in your birth project, but the people you have in your room at your birth really, I believe, are key to that birth experience. Mm. So I just really want to emphasize that if anyone's giving you pressure maybe to be a part of your birth, like I know everyone wants to be part of it because it is super exciting and, you know, but you've got to really feel comfortable with who's in that room with you. And I would have not got through that birth without Matt and without the midwives. So yeah, just make sure you feel super comfortable with who's in the room with you, because you need them and they are amazing. So yeah, just want to add that, and just, yeah, add that there's so many options of pain relief, and you don't know what is going to help you until you're in it. But I would just be aware of everything that's on offer, so you've got places to pull from and you never feel like you're stuck and you're like, I don't know how to relieve this pain. Just kind of familiarize yourself with some options prior, like the TENS machine, like water, you know, all of those things that you go over in your birth project, just so that if something doesn't work for you at the time, you don't feel like, oh, well, that was kind of all I had and now I've got nothing. That you want to have a list and just write it down on the notes app on your phone. Like I wrote so many more notes from your birth project, just so you can refer to them and have them in your brain, so you don't feel like, oh, I don't know what to turn to now. Just I guess the last thing is that if any part of your birth maybe doesn't go to plan, is fall back on what else you wanted to go really well. So like for me, the induction maybe wasn't how I wanted it to start, but I was like, okay, cool, that's happened, but I can still focus on the other things that I wanted to happen. And maybe for you, you know, something along the line doesn't happen how you planned it to, just kind of think of the next thing and be like, okay, can I make the next thing go to plan? Like, just don't throw it all out the window, I guess.
Sure. Awesome. Amazing. Well, thank you so much, Aisha, for coming on the podcast and for sharing your story with us. I've really loved talking to you, and it's so nice to hear, yeah, your super positive mindset around birth and how your birth ended up playing out. So I'm very grateful that you're willing to come on and share with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I think what you offer all Kiwi women is so amazing. And yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Kiwi Birth Tales. I hope you have enjoyed it. And if you're still here, make sure you go and check out your birth project. If you're pregnant or you know someone who is, your birth project is the online hypnobirthing course you need in your life. I will be back with you next week.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.